Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm on with Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. He's now a night print manager at a print shop in Culver City. Larry, you are threatening your wife with custody of your four children. You have been separated from her now for about 3 years. Why do you want custody of those kids?
Because of the problems that my daughter Kim got into, Phil, which I'm very upset about.
Now, you say problems. She has joined the cheerleading squad at her high school.
Well, the information that we have and we have done, when I was working with conservatives of Kern County, we were doing an ethics study on morality, and because ever since Bill Clinton turned the Oval Office into a whorehouse, we decided to look at morality at every level of the of modern life. And cheerleading, clearly, young girls that are cheerleaders are clearly stepping over the line, we think, into an area that is not only immoral, but I think it's also an area that damages relationships, normal relating between men and women.
You're saying cheerleading is immoral?
I'm saying that cheerleading walks the line of sexuality. It is also the beginning of women creating impotence in men because it's obviously a situation where they're demanding things of men.
Let's take this one at a time. And where are you right now, anyway?
I'm in the loading dock area of our print shop because we've got two big jobs we got to get out tonight, Phil. One of them is a wedding invitation that we got to get out, and the other is a
Well, it doesn't make any difference. Okay, we're
I'm just trying to remember. The other, I think, is one's a wedding invitation, the other's a birthday invitation, I believe.
All right. Why is cheerleading, you're talking about high school girls cheerleading, why is that sexual?
I think it's very clear to anybody that has been to any football game or basketball game where there are female cheerleaders. The girls are thrown into the air, or otherwise they leap up in the air, the skirts go above their waists, and you can see everything. And to me, that is just asking a young man to get turned on and to get hot when he should be concentrating on the ball game. And that's number one. Number two, I think that cheerleading creates impotence in men down the road. A typical three-hour game, they're demanding that men run, go, get it in, this kind of thing. If you ever go to a football game, Phil, you can hear it. There is a website called Miss Pineapple's Cheer Page, and this is what a lot of the young girls get their cheers from. These cheers demand action from men. They are quasi-sexual, and they also are the beginnings of a phenomenon that men know as nagging, a constant, unending, droning nagging in your ear. Do this, do that, go do this, go do that. That's what cheerleaders do, female cheerleaders.
Well, what are some of these cheers that you say are suspect?
Well, here's one. The hoop is hot. Make that shot, which we think is obviously... I don't think the person that made up this cheer is...
Are you saying that whoever created that cheer believes it's sexual?
No, I'm not saying... I'm saying it has sexual connotation in the mind of a man. When he is playing football and he's trying to go down the field to get a touchdown and he sees some 15-year-old girl who is developing early... has a very attractive face and a very attractive, well-developing chest and area and bottom area, and she's saying, "Get it in, stick it in, go, go, get it in there, shove it in there." That begins to invoke fear in that young man. That makes that young man feel as if he's having a performance anxiety, and it creates impotence. Later on, some of these cheers...
I want to be clear. Some of these cheers that you're mentioning are not intended to be sexual.
No, but they are taken that way by young men. Listen to this one. We want it up. We want it in. We want it up and through the rim. That is clearly a demand in the mind of a young man for a performance. And later on in life, it becomes sexual performance. Shoot, shoot, don't miss. Offense, get hot, and so on and so forth.
Why are you taking custody or want custody of your kids?
I don't want my daughter cheerleading, and I told my wife, I told my ex-wife Debbie that this would be our Armageddon. I will not have my daughter cheerleading, being thrown in the air with her skirt over her waist, and everybody can see it all. And I'm certainly not going to have her putting on some young man sexual impotence, gelding. The inability, basically a a festive athletic castration is in effect when she goes, shove it in, get it in, and the young man's out there trying to play football.
All right, Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, our number, 1-800-449.
Well, you know, you can laugh if you want, Phil.
No, the irony, I guess, of a very wholesome American event, a Friday night high school football game being tainted with such sexual underpinning, it seems odd.
It seems odd to me, too. And as a father who cares about his daughter and who cares about the cleanliness and health of his daughter, it's outrageous to me.
So you're going to get custody of these children unless your daughter quits cheerleading.
And so far, my wife has refused to take her out of cheerleading, yes.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the number here. We're talking to Larry Grover about young women that are cheerleaders. Is it too late? Has cheerleading seen its better days? Is it simply a place where girls are sexualized early and turned into sex objects? Is it a valuable pursuit for a young lady? I know, Larry, my daughter wants to start cheering, although she's a lot younger.
Yep.
And we would rather she play athletics. We're not really nuts about her being a cheerleader, but I certainly don't think it's some kind of a sexualizing experience.
Well, and I think, with all due respect, Mr. Henry, you ought to open your eyes and take a sniff of the coffee, because when they toss the girl up in the air and she comes down with her rump up in the air, and it's barely covered by the panty that she's wearing, and the splits, and I am telling you this right now, we went to two high school games over the last 2 weeks, where very clearly the young lady did the splits right onto one of these guys' faces, and for me, I find that outrageous, and if that were my daughter down there on the field, I would have gone down there and I would have kicked hell out of the guy that threw her up in the air and the guy who caught her with his face the way he did. I would have kicked hell out of both of them. It is a father's right to see. And the reason my wife won't pull my daughter, my ex-wife won't pull my daughter out of this way of forcing impotence upon men is because my wife used to be a cheerleader, and it's just abuse carrying on from generation to generation.
When you say your wife was a cheerleader, would this phenomenon happen to you?
My wife was a cheerleader. When I went to Valley Vista College, we had a game against, I forget who we were playing, Tahunga JC. In this football game, I had was a fullback, and I played fullback through most of my varsity career. My ex-wife, Bonnie, said she was on a cheerleading team. And to make a long story short, the team was driving for a touchdown. It was a fourth and goal. I was given the ball. It was a left tackle. It was over left tackle, a left tackle dive. And before the play started, I remember very distinctly hearing my wife, Bonnie, on the cheerleading team from the sideline yelling the words, shove it in, stick it in, that kind of thing. And I will tell you, Mr. Henry, to this day, I've never forgotten it, because I was unable to make the dive for a touchdown because of the performance anxiety she had put on me. So this is going on. And I think that it needs to be addressed.
You realize that this is a very radical thing you're saying. Get rid of cheerleading because it may create impotence.
But it's, not only that, but it's the beginning of nagging. You don't want your daughter to nag. And that's all the cheerleaders do. They nag, nag, nag. Get a touchdown. Get a basket. Get a touchdown. Oh, shut up. We're doing the best we can. Do you think we're not trying to get a touchdown? Do you think we're not trying to get a basket? Do you think we're not trying to? And the stupidest one is defense, defense. Oh, really? Is that? I thought I was playing offense. Thank you for reminding me. It treats you like an idiot. You feel like a jackass. And you can't, when you're 30, you can't get it up. So all of those things, to my way of thinking, mean that cheerleading has seen its better days.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here, talking to Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. He believes that cheerleading leads young women into becoming naggers. Let's go to Sarah. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, ma'am. I was a cheerleader in high school, and it is not sexual. Cheerleaders are athletes. They run, they lift weights, they swim, they work their butts off. And it is not a sexual thing. If anybody thinks it's a sexual thing, they are deluded.
Why are their dresses up above their hips when they're being thrown in the air and all of that? Hello?
All right, we had to dump out because she had kind of she was angry.
She said it wasn't sexual, but she can't answer the question then. When you throw a girl up in the air, how come she's showing her rear end to everybody? If it's not sexual, then why don't they wear slacks? Why don't they wear a long dress that might peg at the bottom? If it's not sexual, they could certainly wear baggy slacks or dress. A lot of the, if you ever see a lot of the lesbians, they wear the baggy slacks. Why can't they do that?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should cheerleaders, female cheerleaders, start wearing baggy slacks? And also, I guess the question for a lot of women who were involved in cheerleading, if you look back, do you believe that that was the beginning of you nagging your husband? Because the demands that cheerleaders make on football players, which is go, 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 drive down the field, get a touchdown, get it in, stick it in, all of this stuff sounds quasi-sexual and also is nagging those guys. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Larry Grover. His daughter is cheerleading. He's threatening his wife with the custody of their daughter.
And one other thing. I bet that gal who called and told me the F word carries her husband's nuts around in a grocery bag. That's what cheerleading does.
All right, thank you. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Is cheerleading the beginning of nagging for women? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm with Larry Grover, a former college football player. Now he runs a print shop in Culver City. He used to be with the conservatives of Kern County. And Larry, your political lobbying days are a little bit behind you, huh?
Well, I have had some difficult times, Phil. I lost my wife and family because I seemed to feel it was important to get Clinton out of office. They say I wasn't paying attention to them. All right. But I will get my daughter, custody of my daughter if my wife doesn't get her off the cheerleading team.
Well, you're sleeping on a porch at your mother's house. Where are you going to keep your daughter?
My mother has said that she will convert the garage into a bedroom for the four kids. We can't carpet it yet, but, I've gotten some of the stuff that pulls the oil stains up off the floor, so we're working on that. We can use sleeping bags, but we can convert the garage into a nice bedroom and use the, there's a lavatory in the house. So the kids can come from the garage to the house.
Your kids are going to sleep in a garage because your daughter is on a cheerleading team?
Well, look, Mr. Hendry, I'm not going to have my daughter nag the living hell out of the man that she marries. How can I ever explain to mother why my daughter keeps yelling about the rim is where it should go, et cetera, et cetera? Mother wouldn't understand that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Peggy. Peggy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Your phone broke up, ma'am.
Okay. Mama's boy. Let me tell you something. Would you rather have your daughter be a lesbian or a bit of a sex object?
I would rather my daughter not nag her husband with go, 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 stick it in, and all of that.
Answer the question.
No, I'm not. You can't tell me what to do.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but you obviously
see, you're one
need
of these
to have a therapist.
You're one of these ball busters that's trying to tell me what to...
No, I am absolutely not a ball.
You know what, Peggy, your phone is like screwing up on us. Say that again.
I'm sorry, I'm in a heavy traffic area.
That sounds
better. I am not a ball buster.
Well, oh no? Were you a cheerleader?
No, I wasn't. I played sports,
and
a cheerleader.
I don't think
I'd like to know something. How old are you?
I just turned 40.
Okay, I'm 50. There wasn't that much difference between the 60s and the 70s. You're a mama's boy.
Yeah, there was a lot of difference between the 60s and 70s.
Give me a break.
Then you're a lesbian, and you don't need to worry about shooting shot
about your rim. I am not a lesbian.
Well,
I am married. I have three
children.
Can
I ask you this? Doesn't that offend you when you hear something like, put it in the rim, stick it in?
Well, yes, it does.
Okay, that's
however, if you have a good relationship with your daughter, then you can make known to her how you feel.
I told her I want her up.
If you bitch slap her like you talk, Let me tell you something,
what
Mr.
Do you mean,
she won't listen to you.
Let me tell you something. No woman, I lived with a cheerleader. And I still remember as I was trying to get the ball around fourth and goal.
Wham,
I
can
hear
wham.
Her going, yeah, I can hear her going, get it in, shove it in. Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Performance anxiety. I couldn't play football.
Oh, hey.
All cheerleaders ever learn to do is nag hell out of the men they marry.
If you have a performance anxiety problem, you need a therapist.
No. Just keep the cheerleaders out of our lives once and for all with their screaming. So, in other words, I don't know I'm supposed to get a touchdown. Why do I need them standing there and telling me that
I do? You know what? That was then and this is now. Now you're talking about your daughter, not your mama's boy.
Look, let me jump in. A daughter is a bit, my daughter's a bit younger, and she's cheerleading. And while we would like her to play athletics, we're glad she's involved in some kind of athletic coaching.
All right, as a father, I understand that, Mr. Hendry. But when that cheerleader eventually becomes an adult, and then she begins to psychologically geld a man, that's a bad thing. Yeah.
I
was NFL material.
Unreal.
Look at Peggy. I was NFL material until I heard those women go.
You are
in it, shove it in, down the field, go. I hate it so very much.
You know what? Right. Then you need to talk to a therapist. So when you speak to your daughter,
you would have made a good cheerleader.
Sound.
You would have made a good cheerleader because you got
what?
That voice.
You
score
have a wonderful,
touchdown.
You're a wonderful mama's boy.
You know what you are? You're a castrator. That's what you are. And you enjoy
Sorry,
it. You like to see men walk around with their knees
with
pushed
that.
Together. Mother never told me to get it in. Only a cheerleader said, get it in. Mother.
Well, you know what?
All right,
obviously,
okay.
1-800, something.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Give me
my penis back, you bitch.
Look it. We're trying to desperately understand your pathology concerning cheerleading.
I think I've explained it to you, Mr. Hendry, and I think I've said it in ways. When I met my wife at Valley Vista, I was in business administration. I thought she was cute. But I could hear her even in the beginning with the nagging. Take it down the field. Score it.
That's what cheerleaders do, man. They encourage.
No, that's nagging. That's pushing and push. I'll get it in the touchdown. Just shut up. That's what I always wanted to turn around and say. I'm going toward the end zone. Is that good enough for you?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Shannon. Shannon, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. How
hi.
You doing?
Good. Now, yeah. Shannon, I understand you're used to be a cheerleader, or no?
No, I haven't, but I've always been in sports, and I'm just amazed at this guy. I mean, number
here
one,
here we go. What? You got nothing but women lining up to tell me that I'm wrong.
You
I'd like to hear some guys.
Listen. Take some Paxil, take some Viagra, and then tell that to shut the hell up for a second. Listen to me. The cheerleaders aren't yelling at you. I mean, duh.
Yes, they are. They're yelling at the team. Go, go, go. Go, go, go.
They're
it never
there for
ends.
The crowd. They're not there for you. Pull your head out. You're supposed to focus on the game. You're a husband. You're 40 years old. Listen
hey,
with your mom.
I could have been in the National Football League.
Could
you see how they
could.
Laugh?
Get over it, Al Bundy.
Hey, listen to this. You see how they laugh? You see what they...
You honestly think that cheerleaders are responsible for you not being able to get it up? Come on.
All right. Thanks a lot. 1-800-44. I lost both callers here. 1-800-449-8686. Tell you what I'll do is I'll try to get Larry back on the phone. He feels that cheerleaders that's the beginning of women nagging men. That when you hear a cheerleader on the sidelines screaming go 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 go, basically what she's doing is she's nagging, and that's the beginning. And also, the obvious sexuality of cheerleading is bad for his daughter. He wants custody of all four of his children from his wife, who he says has allowed his daughter to be a cheerleader. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The question is this. Is cheerleading an outdated activity for girls? Should they move on to something else? Is cheerleading just really for idiots, or does it have some value? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're on with Larry Grover. He is former chairman of...
I want to make a point, too, Phil, if I could.
Hold on, Larry. Okay, we're on with Larry Grover, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. His daughter is a cheerleader. He is suing for custody of all of his kids because he doesn't want her cheerleading. He thinks it is a sexual pursuit. And you're in a really loud place, whatever you're doing there, Larry.
We're trying to get some work done tonight, Phil, but I apologize.
You also believe that cheerleading is unhealthy for male and women, men and women relating because they start to nag. Women nag. Cheerleading is essentially nagging.
Well, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. I played for Valley Vista College. The year was 1982. I was on my way out, and I was going to be hopefully be drafted, if not a walk-on, at one of the NFL free agent camps. I was a fullback for Valley Vista. We had a fourth down and inches to go. The ball was going to come to me. We were in an I formation. The ball was going to come to me, and I was going to pick either a hole in the interior of the line or do a wide sweep. And I'll never forget, the ball was handed off to me by a guy by the name of Eddie Rundgren, who was our quarterback. And as soon as I got the ball, I heard one of these cheerleaders... And she said, get it in the end zone, get it in the end zone. And I remembered that having to listen to them made me so insecure, I turned around and I said, well, what? I'm supposed to go to this end zone, aren't I? And that, I got hit.
Wait a minute.
And hold on for a minute. Today, Phil, I sleep on the porch at my mother's home. I don't complain, I'm the night manager of a print shop. But I could have been wearing the number 29... of a guy, and you might have heard about him, Eric Dickerson. The Rams wanted me.
You were scouted by the Rams?
I was scouted by the Los Angeles Rams. But this broad, this cheerleader, get it in the end zone, get it in. And you want to turn around, Phil, and say, I know, I'm like, what, this one or that one? What are you saying now? What do you want now? I'm in the middle of a play. I'm going to go to the end zone, but they go, get it in. Now what do you want? That's the frustration.
All right, 1-800-449, and I understand that. I'm just saying, is it as bad?
I say it's bad. I'm sleeping on a porch. I could have been Eric Dickerson.
Who is this, Season?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Season.
I'm here.
You're on the air, ma'am.
Okay. All right, man. You say you could have been for the Rams. You could have been before the cheerleaders messed you up, right?
That's right. This one turns... Well, what is she doing saying, get it in the end zone? Like, I don't know.
If you're such a good athlete, why the hell are you turning around listening to them instead of getting it into the end zone? Obviously, you couldn't have got it in or the Rams would have had you.
She's trying to confuse me. I know that
they want... The cheerleader on the sideline that's trying to help your team, encourage your team to go on.
That's right.
They're trying to confuse you.
Yes, because they're idiots.
If you're such a good football player, you should be knowing enough to get it into the end zone without having to turn around. Obviously, you've got some kind of psychotic problems wanting to turn around and yell at the girl trying to help you out.
Let me ask you a question. There's two end zones in football. If you're familiar with football, there's two end zones.
Yeah, but obviously if the Rams wanted you, you should have been a good enough player to know which end zone to run to.
But when she said get it in the end zone, it momentarily stopped me.
Well, wait a minute. Season's making a point. If your team's driving in one direction, defense is playing in one direction, and you get the ball and you hear the cheerleader say, get it in the end zone, how was that distracting?
Because it's nagging. Nag, nag, nag. Get it
nag,
in the end zone.
Nag,
kick
yeah.
the ball. Do this. Do that. In one of the games, I turned around and I simply said, would you please just shut up for a minute?
That's their job. That's their program. You're in the football program. They're in the cheerleading program. You know, you've got these girls going to championships because they're good at what they do. You don't see the Dallas Cowboys firing their cheerleaders, do you? No, obviously they want them there.
No.
If you're such a good football player, you've got to run to your own end zone.
But wait a second. How do I know which one is my end zone when I got some nagging little pigtailed pleated skirt guy? And she's telling me, go to the end zone. Go. And I said, well, which end zone is it?
And if you think your daughter's a sex symbol, obviously, man, that's... Something's crazy there.
Wait a minute.
Something's not right.
Are you trying to tell me that I got the hots for my own daughter? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say, obviously, in her age group, you're watching these people, you know, and you're saying they're a sex symbol, obviously they're turning you on.
Season, if I'm watching you and you go up in the air and your skirt goes up over your head, what, do you want me not to look at your buns?
Yeah, I want you not to look at your daughter's buns.
I'm not looking at my daughter's buns.
Then why do you think she's a sex symbol? Teenage boys are going to look at what they're going to look at, man. They're not out there. All the fans and the people your age watching their kids play football are not out there watching your daughter's ass. They're watching the football game. And if they're watching your daughter's ass, they're sick. Your daughter's out there having fun doing what she's enjoying. You shouldn't try to take that away from her. If you loved her, you wouldn't take that.
But I don't want her to yell out, put it in the end zone, and some poor guy is going to go, which one? And the next thing you know, she's destroyed a man's life.
Having fun. If the man was a good football player, he would know which end zone to run to. Obviously, the Rams didn't want you because you didn't know which football end to run to.
Wait a second. When my daughter was out there, it was 2 weeks ago, and we were playing Valley Christian, and she yelled, push him back, and the defense said, would you please just shut up? We know what we're doing.
Don't you understand what a cheerleader's is supposed to do, sir? They're supposed to encourage the team.
It's like mother when she tells me to turn right when I'm already turning right. It's like my ex-wife saying, is it in? When I'm already having sex with her.
You let people bother you way too much. You let people bother you way too much, and you can't expect to move your teenage daughter. That's a cheerleader. Obviously, he's got something going for her, because where I'm from, cheerleaders, you know, are pretty popular and stuff like that. You can't imagine her to move out of her home with her mother to a pool.
Now I know what
you think about telling your teenage daughter she has to move to a porch with your mama.
Season, you got to watch your language.
Yeah, did you hear the language on this child?
Just hold on.
Right. First of all, I'm sleeping temporarily on a cot on the service porch, but we're clearing out the garage, so we'll bring in sleeping bags for the kids and a Bunsen burner.
Sleeping bags and a Bunsen burner for a teenage cheerleader girl that probably wants to go out on dates and have a good time and keep her popularity. You're trying to ruin her life, Dad. You're not trying to help her.
That will end. No more cheerleading, because I'm not going to have my daughter standing on the sideline and saying things like, and let me quote directly to you, Season, the hoop is hot, make that shot. What's that supposed to mean?
The hoop is hot, make that shot, put the basket in the goal. She's not meaning take me out after the show, you know? Come on. She's trying to cheer for her team.
What's this? We want it up, we want it in. That is humiliating to any man that hears it.
Oh, come on. Dude, it's humiliating to you because you have some kind of weird complex about your baby girl. She's having fun doing what she wants to do.
Well, I don't want her showing her buns to just anybody.
All right.
Well,
look, this is sick.
She's a cheerleader.
I agree with what the lady was saying. Season, thank you very much. I think you're making some good points.
Sir.
By the way, how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
20, so you think it's fine when they say, push it, rah, 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 that's okay?
Yeah, because I played sports. They're trying to cheer them on. They're not trying to arouse anybody.
Were you a cheerleader?
No, I wasn't a cheerleader. I was a sports player.
Oh, lesbian, huh?
Yeah, And the lesbian comment you made earlier, you know, I had a girlfriend that probably looked better than any of the cheerleaders out there, so the pee pants lesbian thing is bull crap.
Wait a minute.
Everybody out there listening, that was bull crap.
What was bull crap?
Baggy clothes lesbians can't.
That's
come
right.
On.
Every lesbian that I've ever known, they always wore slacks.
Oh, come
slacks
on,
and
dude.
Floor-shine shoes and lipstick.
What about the bondage-collared porno lesbians, do they wear slacks? Come on, dude.
Oh,
they're hot lesbians.
Which series are you talking about? Is that the one with Kimberly Ames? Or the?
Okay, fine, great. Season, thank you very much.
Come on, thanks a lot, dude. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. She's all right. That's Season. She's a little butch gal, but she's okay. And as for Larry, this guy once again needs therapy. Yet again. Get off that porch, Larry. You'll be a lot better. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And the voice of Larry Grover in that last bit was actually performed by me. And the people that called in thought Larry was a real guy. So there you go. Including you, Season, even though we've decided that we love you and we'd like you to call us more often. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. In yesterday's bit with Vernon Dozier, Vernon was on the show saying that his wife had promised she'd dye her hair blonde so that they could have normal sex again. See, Vernon, he can't get it up for a woman who is a brunette.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi. Yes, ma'am. I just want to make a comment to the Hank. I want to know, since when the heck has the marriage been based upon hair color? I mean, she's still who she is regardless of her hair color.
Yes, ma'am.
Her body parts do not change regardless of what hair color she is. And you, as a health teacher, should know that the roots come from in the inside, not out of a bottle.
Okay.
So maybe it takes more to maintain than it does for you to put some effort in it. Maybe it's your libido that's going downhill, not her look.
No, because everything about our marriage is great.
You said you had a good marriage.
We've got a wonderful marriage. I love her. She's my best friend. We enjoy the same things.
How can you say that she's your best friend when you're telling this lady she needs to change her hair color?
No.
Don't
you love us to have
sex? Truly,
in order
I'm sorry.
For us,
if you are truly in love with this person, as you say you do, then you should not expect her to do things she doesn't want to.
Could I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Are you blonde?
Yes, I am.
See, I can tell because you're exciting to listen to. You have fire. You have opinion.
I think
you
you're
have
full
passion.
Of shit.
Oh, excuse me.
Sherry, could you watch your language, please? Sherry?
Yes.
Could you watch your language, please?
Yes. Why do you think
I apologize.
Why do you think I'm full of it? I said you sound
excited. I think that you're a whack job. I think that you've colored your hair too much for you to think something like this.
You're
and
a blonde.
As a health teacher,
How did I know you were a blonde?
Because you've got fire. You know what they say about people who assume?
No. Wait a second.
Think about it.
Assumption is the mother of all screw-ups, is what I've heard, Sherry.
Well, hold on for a minute. Sherry, as soon as you started talking, I could tell you had that kind of little girl voice, and it was exciting to talk to you.
That's not because my hair is blonde. That's because God gave me vocal cords.
No, but you've got opinion, and you sound almost youthful, and you...
That comes from within, and if you didn't beat your wife down all the time about her hair color, maybe she would tell you like it is, too.
I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah, you need to grow up, buddy. Tit for tat, if you want her hair blonde, you should dye yours blonde. And you sound like you're bald. Are you bald?
I have a receding, I have a hairline, yeah.
Well, see, how did I figure that?
All right,
I hope your age
isn't
the size of your IQ, because I think you're a very materialistic person to base your marriage upon
your
color.
You're
not so smart yourself.
Oh, you sound interesting. Has anyone grabbed your hair from behind?
What are you talking about?
She has a very sexual...
What do you mean, has anybody grabbed her hair from behind?
This is the type of man we're dealing with. He has no intelligence other than below the belt.
God, you sound cute.
All right, look at...
And you're disgusting.
Are you trying to say that all you want is a bimbo? Is that what you're saying?
Every man wants a woman who just won't be a brain surgeon. You want a woman who will just...
So you're saying Sherry's not a brain surgeon. Is that it? You're saying Sherry's stupid?
No. No, I'm not.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying she sounds like a blonde.
No, she's... She just isn't somebody who's going to win.
Get on a respirator. You sound like you're losing it there.
She's not the kind of woman that's going to win a lot of arguments from me. Let me put it that way.
What does that mean?
I'm smarter than her, I think. Sherry, wouldn't you agree that I'm smarter than you?
I think, buddy, you have a better chance with a toilet bowl.
With a toilet ball?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay. Well, I can see why. Vernon was interested in her. She was cute. She had some spunk. She was blonde. She's a little dumb. No, she wasn't dumb. She was blonde. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And our website is philhendryshow.com. Maxim has the top 100 sexiest girls on television this month. And I want to just alert you to something, because I had the great pleasure this last summer of doing a TV pilot called, should I say? I'm going to give it away now. No, I won't tell you the name of it. But I worked with an actress, and her name was Amanda Detmer. You guys have got to check her out in the next issue of Maxim, ma'am. She should be there. She should be on this list, baby. Serious. And I'm sure she will be, because the show's going to be a serious smash, and maybe they'll have me back to do my little part as a judge. But that's what I did last summer. See, I did that show, and then I went to Hawaii, and that was it. The rest of the summer I spent just working along. People say, what did you do last summer? Well, I took 1 week of vacation, and I did this TV show, and doing these television shows, it's kind of different. I don't know whether or not it's anything that I'm gonna enjoy over the long haul. I think that maybe if the sun shines on me and God blesses me and the river don't rise, we actually are able to get a TV show on the air on NBC, I think that I'm going to have to live closer to work or something, because there's no way I can do this radio gig and do that at the same time without serious adjustment of hours, you know? When you do those shows, you know what you do? You got to go in there, and you got to rehearse, and you do that maybe 2-3 days. Then they got to get all the camera crap set up. Then you rehearse with the camera stuff. Then you got all these people coming and telling you what to say and what not to say, and that sucked, and this is okay, and they make you rewrite the script. Till finally you do it in front of the studio audience, and then you're nervous because you're afraid you're going to blow your lines, or they're going to have to reshoot something, and the people, are they going to laugh or not? Found out, though, that the studio audiences that are on those TV shows, they go from show to show to show. So they laugh at everything. They laugh when they're supposed to laugh. I don't know whether they pay them or not, but do they pay them to laugh? Some of them, they pay to laugh. They give them like $10, go ahead, laugh. Well, when do I? Just laugh anytime. I don't care. It can be like when somebody gets shot, laugh. Just laugh. So that's interesting. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, and then it's just the longest bloody day, because you're waiting around for them to call you, and then you say two lines, you go back to where your hole is, and you sit there, and you eat some, you know, eat some bananas or something. It's really great. It's very glamorous. Can't wait to do it. Don't forget, as well, the Phil Hendry Show website is available for subscription. All of our audio, $6.95 a month. That means you get all of these great shows, all of these great hours of classic comedy that we do. This last hour was a beautiful thing. If for no other reason than listening to Season sitting there puffing on her Pall Mall straights, talking about how she's a lesbian and she ain't going to take no crap from nobody. Season, you're all right with us. So check it all out on our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Winona Ryder is guilty. I know Margaret Gray is in front of the courthouse in Beverly Hills. And what's your read on this, Margaret, so far?
Well, I think it's absolutely, Phil, a misunderstanding. I think Winona, as we all know Winona, a very talented young lady who was, in fact, Fifth Avenue researching an acting role, who was...
Now, okay, that was brought out in the trial.
No, but they didn't understand it, Phil, and I know a lot of your listeners won't. Actors and actresses research their parts for films. If, for instance, Nick Nolte in the wonderful Tour de Force Down and Out in Beverly Hills, playing a homeless man, my understanding was he slept for a couple of nights on a bench. And
no, that's method acting. Is that what they call that?
Well, I don't know if it's method acting. She was researching a part. Winona Ryder, Phil, has no reason to shop at Saks. She shops on Rodeo. She shops on El Paseo. She's looking at the fall line in Rome. This is a young woman, very stylish, and what has happened here, I think, is what typically happens to celebrities. They are singled out. They are indicted by the court system. They are held up as an example of someone who I guess is too successful. Is that it? I guess Winona would be better served if she were homeless herself. Maybe she should have a drug problem. Is that what people want? I'm really shocked. I'm stunned. I think it'll be reversed on appeal.
All right, you're basically saying the woman is not guilty because she wasn't stealing. She was shoplifting. She was stealing.
She was researching a role.
Well, but she was trying to leave the store with this stuff according to security, right?
Well, Phil, but that's different. That is different from regular people. You, not you people, but you and the people listening to your program steal and leave, and there is no reason to steal. She had a reason to steal, and that is...
But to research a film role.
Actors do it all the time. Now, you know this. I'm surprised the Beverly Hills police don't know it. The shock is this, that Winona Ryder, in attempting to research this role and taking these items from Saks, has been fined. There needs to be, and Phil, I will be in Sacramento next week. I'll be talking to Assemblyman McClinton. There really needs to be a law passed where it does become tax deductible. Because
well, you're asking for Winona Ryder not only to be innocent, but the things that she was taking are tax deductible.
Can I ask you a question?
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
The magazines and the newspapers that you buy for your radio show, are they tax deductible?
Yes, they are.
The television you watch, the cable, is that tax deductible?
Because of my job, yes it is.
And because of Winona Ryder's job as an actress, the United States Treasury Department calls it research. She was researching a role. She was shoplifting things.
She goes home, it goes into her closet, and you're telling me the government should pay her for that?
She's researching, yes, it goes into her closet. And
does she get to wear it for her personal use?
Phil, I'm telling you right now, this is Saks Fifth Avenue. This is a glorified Walmart. No one with the fashion sense, and certainly not the money of Winona Ryder, shops at Saks Fifth Avenue. I think the mere thought of it is amusing at worst, and I could soil my underwear at best. Just the thought of that makes me laugh. And for people to want to indict Winona because she happens to be beautiful, she happens to be young, and oh yeah, happens to be one of the most talented actresses we have, I think is still very, very wrong. And the spectacle at this courthouse, I think it's because there's just no other news going on that so many people are picking on this child. The media is starved for a story. And I really think that in the months ahead, you're going to see an awful lot of people apologizing to a very gifted, a very talented, and a very gracious young lady.
All right, Margaret Gray is at the Beverly Hills Courthouse. Winona Ryder found guilty, which you think is a miscarriage of justice. Obviously, Margaret.
And there are a lot of people who agree with me.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is she guilty of shoplifting, or did this lady, is Winona Ryder guilty only of doing research for a movie role? And do you think actors and actresses should be allowed to steal things if it is researching a movie role, and then it becomes tax deductible?
Absolutely, Phil. I think it is something... And I know I spoke with not Jerry Springer. I did talk to Jerry yesterday, but Charlie Rose wants to do something on this, and I am really interested in getting in there and getting my hands in it, digging through it with Charlie and talking about what is happening to a lot of these actors. When you look at a Jason Priestley who is researching his role as an alcoholic, he goes out, he drinks, which is what you need to do if you are researching your role as an alcoholic. He runs into some private property. No one is killed, and yet he's arrested. Is that interesting?
And you're telling me you don't think he should be?
Oh, my God, no. He's researching a... I guess I'm talking to myself here.
No, you're not talking to yourself. If Jason Priestley...
He's playing a drunk. So he goes out, he gets drunk...
Gets in a car, kills somebody...
He didn't kill anyone. And this is where you people in the media blow it all out of proportion. He killed no one. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, Phil...
He killed no one. This is something else.
He killed no one. Now, the other thing I want to mention, and this bears repeating. Winona Ryder, one of our most gifted and beautiful young actresses, was held up to a modern media spectacle that I hope never happens again. She is entitled, as you know, many celebrities have private entrances into salons, spas, etc. And
well, I know, because they don't want to get mobbed by autograph hounds.
Yes. I don't know why the city of Beverly Hills could not have provided her a private entrance into the courtroom and a private trial. No cameras.
Wait a minute. The people have a right to witness judicial proceedings in this country.
This is different. This is a young actress. She's terribly high-strung. I think it should have been private. I think it should have been relaxed. I think she should have been afforded some bathroom breaks and some lunch breaks. She's a very big fan of Montclair Flatwater. There was none. She has a massage a day. There was none. She is used to a hot towel with her meals. There was none. And on and on and on go the atrocities committed against one of our most talented, gifted, beautiful, and dare I say maligned and mistreated young actresses. But first and foremost, Phil, I think we really need to get the tax deductible issue through Congress, because I know they go on recess after Christmas.
Well, all right. There's no way they're going to give her Montclair Flatwater and a massage in the middle of her trial. Okay, there's no way that that's going to happen.
Oh, really? And what court are you a judge in?
There's no way.
What court are you a judge in? This is a unique situation.
All right, but the other thing about an actor or an actress being allowed to go out and break the law because they're researching a part for a movie.
So long as no one gets hurt. All right, now, for instance, I'll give you an example. If Jason Priestley had run over a child during that night that he hit the garbage can, you remember that?
Yeah.
I think a very, very stiff fine is in order. But I'm saying, if no one gets hurt, you let them go because they are providing a service as actors in a film. And Winona Ryder should have been allowed to walk free, and not only that, the thing she stole tax deductible.
All right, well, a lot of my listeners probably don't understand what we're talking about. We're talking about...
Well, it's Stanislavski. It's the method. Stanislavski, one of the very early Russian theater teachers.
Okay, that's fine. But the point is, when actors go into a part, they want to become the part.
So when I was a young actress and I was reading, and I was doing a lot of readings in town, I want to tell you a story. I was a young actress, and I was up for Linda Evans, eventually got the part, but I was up for the Audrey part in Big Valley.
I remember that movie.
Yes, I was up for that. I was doing readings, and I remember we were doing a revival of Sweet Charity at Equity Waiver over here on Melrose. I played the part, excuse my French, of a lady of the evening. Now, I was much younger then, and I'm not proud of this, but I went out and performed oral sex on probably, and I wasn't married, 30 to 40 minutes.
Oh, wait, okay. I understand what you're saying, that you do. You don't have to get into the graphic part.
No, but I'm saying I had to do that. And you know that? The L.A. Times said that I was a revelation in the part. And I can still remember, the minute you walk in the room, heel kick, heel kick. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know Sweet Charity. All right, I got to take a break here, Margaret. And the essential question to the audience...
If I can repeat the words of Uta Hagen, be the character. Be the character. Uta Hagen, Phil, comes from Wisconsin, believe it or not. You wouldn't know that with a name like that. But she always said, be the character. So if you're playing a bum, be a bum. If you're playing a drunk, be a drunk. And if you're playing a shoplifter for Girl Interrupted, a wonderful movie, Angelina Jolie, Academy Award, be the shoplifter.
All right. These are very controversial and highfalutin notions. I don't know if any of them are really operable. We're talking here with Margaret Gray, who is at the Beverly Hills Courthouse. 1-800-449-8686. Because Winona Ryder was researching a part for a movie, and because actors often research parts for movies, they should be allowed a little bit of leeway when it comes to the law. Shoplifting, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Drinking and driving, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. She thinks it was a miscarriage of justice, and they're trying to push through a bill. If an actor is caught with stolen goods, and it was stolen in researching a part, not only do they not have to give the stuff back, they get a tax break. Do you think that actors and actresses should get tax breaks for things they steal from department stores? And do you think that actors should be allowed to drink and drive if they're researching a part for a film? 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. What?
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Did you know Robert Blake was up for that part, Phil? And I think it's terrible.
But you can't say that Robert Blake, it's all right for him to kill somebody.
No, I'm not saying that. And I think there should be a very stiff fine. But the fact is, Robert Blake, I don't think, if he killed her, intended to kill her so much as he wanted to know, to get into the field, to get his hands in there and really dig around in what it is to be a murderer. And unfortunately, Bonnie Blakely was between Robert and a Golden Globe. And it happens. It happens.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I think that's absurd. But can actors commit crimes if they're researching parts for movies so long as nobody gets hurt? Here is Chris on The Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Phil, I just wanted to let you know, I thought at first this was a comedy bit. I don't think I've ever heard a more absurd argument in my entire life. So what she's saying is the law shouldn't apply, and I guess because it would be impossible to draft a statute that would catch this catch-all that actors should be able to do what they want when they're researching a role, because who's to say what a role is, that the law shouldn't apply.
So what is your point?
How do you draft the law to hold people accountable for their actions?
I didn't draft the law. I'm simply saying that if she steals something, that it becomes tax-deductible. She doesn't pay a fine. The government pays her.
So I should pay. The government gets his money from me and you. So we should pay when we notarize to steal something.
Do you go to movies?
And this law is researching a role.
Well, who got hurt, sir? Who got hurt?
We all get hurt. When people steal,
yes,
prices
we
go
all
up.
Get...
Oh, really?
And the law is applicable to everybody,
well,
regardless of their
much.
Profession.
You go to see the mafia movies. I go to see mafia movies. I love films. I loved all of these Francis Ford Coppola takes on the mafia. We all love the mafia, and yet they steal from us every day.
So
I
what? I'm not going to pay for somebody to become part of the mafia so they can research a role.
No, but you put money into their pocket. You put money into their pocket by watching Sopranos and walking around with two...
I put money in the mafia's pocket by watching the Sopranos?
Yes, you do.
You hear what you're saying?
No, you walk around with a pinky finger up. You walk
I do.
Around with... Well, you and... But you people. I don't know about you.
Okay.
You people.
Yes. They walk around with... And I don't know what the nonsense is. It's no good. It's no good. And all of that guinea talk. And I really think it's offensive. Really do.
All right, listen, Chris, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I don't see how anybody puts money into the mafia's pocket by watching The Sopranos.
Because they then want to go into Italian restaurants in Little Italy that are owned by members of different crews. They put money because they want to pretend that they're Italian, sit, pour wine, and talk with their mouths full in everything that they do. This is what people want. They want to do what the Italian does. And that's how money goes into their pocket.
All right. We're talking about Winona Ryder.
Yes, I didn't mean to get off the subject.
And Winona Ryder should be allowed to steal because she's researching a movie role.
Absolutely. As long as no one gets hurt. And what she's been put through, I think, is terrible.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Charlotte, you're on The Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to say is, no, she did not have to steal to study for the role. All they would have had to have done was to have the producer or the director go into that store and say, listen, Winona Ryder is coming in. She does not know I'm talking to you. She is going to be shoplifting. Please do not stop her, and we will take care of what she's stolen later.
I work in Hollywood. It doesn't work that way. You'd have to inform
baloney.
I work in Hollywood. It doesn't work that way. You'd have to inform the entire security staff of the store. It's impractical and improbable.
No, you wouldn't have to inform the entire security.
She would know that they know. You see what I'm saying?
No, she wouldn't know that they knew.
She would know that they knew.
No way. No, she is guilty as sin, and she needs to pay like everybody else.
Let me ask you a question. What if she's sleeping with the director?
Well, then that's her problem.
She'd know that they knew because
well, then she is
her.
A slut, isn't she?
No. Who said she was a slut?
Well, you said she was sleeping with the director.
I said, what if?
Yep.
You know, this gets down to a lot of jealousy on the part of people that don't really know what it's like to be an actor or an actress. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it is funny because there are millions of us out there that could care less about being an actor or an actor.
Are acting, and I can tell you right now, what happened to Winona Ryder was a miscarriage of justice.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Do you ever shut up and let anybody else talk?
when I hear something sensible said, then I shut up. But when I hear someone dribbling away from their eastern Pennsylvania hamlet, no, I never shut up.
Yeah,
I don't
well,
like being laughed at. Stop laughing.
No,
lady,
I won't stop
the
laughing
lady
because
can laugh
it's the most ridiculous
want.
Thing I've ever heard.
No, I'm asking you, Phil, to tell her to stop laughing.
She can laugh if she wants to. You're asking that Winona Ryder be given a tax deduction for stealing and have her own private entrance to the courtroom?
Oh,
and I'm saying that is not necessary. And it's the same way with a drunk person who's studying to be a drunk driver.
Why do actors get these privileges, in your opinion, Margaret?
The motion picture industry makes billions of dollars every year. You want to know why? Because they make people happy. They give people they give people something to do when they're sad. They give people a diversion. They create for seven stinking bucks, Charlotte, they create a world that you can escape into. And what do they get for it? They get arrested. They get called drunks and whores and sluts. We slap them around in public. We photograph them and lead them into the courthouse. You saw Nick Nolte. He looked like something like a cat drug across the street.
Well,
God!
May I say something now?
Go ahead, Charlotte.
There are hundreds of people in this country who...
They allow you to escape from your miserable experience, and what do?
There you go again.
You lay down $7 and you go, oh, God, it's so expensive.
Go ahead, Charlotte. Margaret, allow this lady to finish.
What I am trying to say is there are hundreds and thousands of people
in
this country every day who do wonderful things for people.
Yes.
Who, if they were would go out and rob a store or get drunk and drive, would be DUI and would have to pay like anybody else.
Don't you write off that upper plate?
Do I what?
Do you write off your upper plate?
I don't even know what you're talking
about. I'm talking about the false teeth. Can't you write those off?
I have no idea.
What you pull out of your glass every morning, bedside, don't you write it off? She's laughing at me again. Oh.
Well, yes, because I don't have false teeth, and don't you wish I did?
Well, then what makes you talk that way?
Talk what way?
Well, there's a kind of a clicking. I'm hearing a sort of a tongue.
Well, if you're hearing a clicking.
1-800-449-8686. We are talking with Margaret Gray about Winona Ryder, who was found guilty today. She thinks it's a miscarriage of justice. As an actress, she ought to be allowed to research her roles, and one of them might be stealing, shoplifting.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret, if you're still there, I wanted to ask you a couple more questions.
Yes.
You mentioned Winona Ryder. She's an actress, and she has to research her parts. And we heard the same excuse, by the way.
Phil, it's not an excuse.
No, and we heard the same excuse from the attorney. You know...
Look, you trying to pander to your audience really gets old. It really...
Why do you think I'm pandering to my audience?
Because you're sitting there and saying... you know, she should have to be held accountable, and so on and so forth. Phil, I've seen you at parties. I've seen you with some of these stars. You're just as knocked out as anybody. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I had a very, very late Chinese lunch. I'm so sorry.
Well, that just about shut down this show.
What?
That belch.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make a point.
Then make the point.
I won't be yelled at, Phil.
Make the point.
In researching her part, she has to go and live the life. And I mentioned when I researched Sweet Charity.
I know, you gave oral sex to 40 different guys.
Well, you say that like it's something I ought to be ashamed of.
Yeah, I would think that it is something you're ashamed of.
I was doing it for the art, and I wasn't married. Thank you very much, Jesus H. Christ. I didn't know you just got off the cross.
I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else. I'm saying it isn't something that I would admit on the air that I gave oral sex to 30 or 40 guys.
Well, if I were you, I wouldn't either. But I'm a girl. It's different, isn't it?
All right, okay.
And by the way, I wrote off the chapstick. And I guess you think that's funny, don't you? I guess you think that that's really a riot, don't you?
You wrote off what?
I wrote off all my chapsticks for the next year. Are you laughing?
I think it's amusing.
Well, you better stop, because I'll come through the phone. I don't like being laughed at when I'm making a point. And the point I was making was...
I know. You did Sweet Charity, Equity Waiver, Melrose Avenue, and the L.A. Times called you a revelation.
Those scabs on my knees almost won me an Emmy. And what have you won?
I'm not saying that you're not... Just have some class. Have some class about what you're admitting to.
Still, I still remember it as if it was yesterday. The minute you walked in the room, I could tell you were a man of distinction, a real big spender. Hey, big spender, spend a little time with me. 2, 3, 4, twist, pivot, oh, the minute you walked in the...
Are you going to do the whole show for me? I got it already. I understand you were a revelation, according to the L.A. Times. But to come on my program and say researching a role is necessary for the art... Look, Margaret, you could give oral sex to the entire male population of the San Luis Obispo colony. That would be fine with me.
Thank you very much for thinking I'm a slut.
Well, you're the one that said you gave 40... Whatchamacallits to 40 guys... That's not against the law, necessarily. What she did is against the law.
Oh, and somebody really got hurt. I think you need to understand...
When are you ever going to be wrong? Just once be wrong.
The entire male population of the California colony of San Luis Obispo, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Good.
Phil, you got to hear the finale of Sweet Charity.
Go ahead.
Listen to the finale. The minute you walked in the room, Grand Chate, chase down, pass the deuce, spin down. I was a bit...
Sound like a freaking man.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. You know.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
The voice of Margaret Gray was performed by me, and the people that called believed her to be a real person. In the preceding bit, we should call Winona Ryder and Margaret's chapstick write-off, whatever you want to call it. 1-800-449-8686, and in the, let's see, what did I want to do here? We're going to do a flashback? Right. Let's talk about a little bit about what happened on yesterday's show. This is Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Productions, and he had a show idea called Catfight, where they go into different malls with hidden cameras and provoke fist fights between women. Let's listen.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
If you walked up without my wife knowing it and smacked my kid, I would hunt you down and kill you.
No, you.
That is straightforward. You have no right for you or somebody to lay a hand.
Well, wait a minute. Your wife's going to... But you're going to be on TV. Your kid's going to be on TV. See, that's the whole thing that you didn't know. You don't... No, of course you don't want your kid smacked. I wouldn't want my kid smacked. But I would want my kid smacked if I could be on television.
Oh, no, I would.
You wouldn't?
No, I would not.
All right, let me ask something. Are you trying to tell me that if Clint Eastwood walked up to your kid and kicked your kid, say, about 10 feet down the mall, you'd try to kill Clint Eastwood? I don't
think so. Clint Eastwood would be in jail at that time because I would press full charges on him and anybody else associated with him on that deal.
Yeah, that's, it doesn't matter
else,
if there...
Nobody
matter
else has the right to touch him.
All right, can I ask, is Arlene there? Arlene,
yes.
Arlene, this is Brad Rifkin.
Yes.
Can you tell me who your favorite film actress is, who you've enjoyed over the years in many of her motion pictures?
Oh, you're taking me off guard, not right now, but...
Well, I'm just curious. Do you like, for instance, Meryl Streep? Do you
oh,
like
yes.
It? All right. What if Meryl Streep walked up to your child and picked him up by his collar and threw him up against a wall?
I'd glide into her and I'd arrest her.
But you like Meryl.
Arrest.
But wait a minute, you
because,
like
Meryl. Now listen, does my kid mean
what
more to me than Meryl Streep?
Well, you like Meryl Streep, you said.
That well, doesn't
sure,
make
but
any...
I like my kid more. And see, as far
biggest...
as I'm concerned, this show, all it's doing is they want women on fighting, and that's the promotion
right.
of the show.
I'm going to ask Matt.
At
this
the expense of traumatizing my child or my grandchild.
Matt, this is Phil Hendry. Matt, would you watch a show where women are getting into fights?
As long as I didn't have, if it was, say, if it's like a mud wrestling event.
Yeah, I mean, most of us like that.
If they're going in on their own, knowing what's going on, that's fine.
Right.
If it's something else that's set up to where someone's put on surprise, somebody walking up and smacking your child in the mall.
I'll ask the question, Mr. Rifkin. Who do you like in movies? If you watch movies, Matt, who's your favorite actor?
Oh.
Well, name a good movie you saw recently. Do you like, whoever, Al Pacino or something like that?
Oh, I love Al Pacino. I've been all right.
What if Al Pacino took your kid and threw him out onto some pavement?
Will you stop with that question, man? They're going to say the same thing.
I'm going to have Al Pacino arrested.
Even though you like his movies.
My child.
You like magic, don't you? What about David Copperfield? A smack on the face for your kid, and then you get a little magic. That's great television.
I think we've answered.
David Copperfield smacked my child the same thing. Nobody else but the parent.
Arlene, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Arlene, what if Meryl Streep gave you an autograph? Would you be all right with her beating your kid?
No.
Will you stop? All right, listen, Arlene and Matt, thank you very much.
All right, I think we've got... This has been very instructive for me, Phil. So
you're not going to have the show?
No, I don't think we should come out with it.
Well, that's great. Very instructive.
I really thought...
Yeah, you thought that this lady would let Meryl Streep beat her kid for an autograph.
Well, I did.
All right, well, now you know.
Bye.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that would have been a good show, but the focus group on that just is coming back all thumbs down. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a TV show where some famous actor, like, for instance, George Clooney, walks up to your kid and kicks him right in the groin, but gives you an autograph. Is that okay or is it not? What would you do? Many of you are big fans, I know. For instance, many women like Brad Pitt. What if Brad Pitt took your newborn kid and shoved him into an engine block and closed the hood and just started revving the engine? He's going to give you an autograph. God. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. And what?
Speaking of George Clooney, Phil, and I'm sorry to come back on.
Yeah, we had you for 40 minutes. What?
Get you. You're really rude.
What?
George Clooney is in a new film called Solaris, and I'm sure you've heard about it. It is absolutely outstanding and is going to be making, I think, a lot of money for him. But here's the problem. There is a shot of George Bear from the waist down from behind. I say again, there is a shot of George waist down, naked from behind.
Okay.
And they want to give the film an R rating. If they give the film an R rating, that excludes a large percentage of the viewing population and the movie going public. It means less money for the film industry, for the studio. So my question is this. Don't you think we should be allowed to see George Clooney's bare rear area?
You can go see that. You can see it.
But you know what I mean. Shouldn't get a PG rating.
I don't know anything about this. He's bare from the waist down. He's bare from the waist down. Well, you know, why?
Why are you asking?
Why do they have him bare from the waist down?
Look, it's the director's prerogative, Phil. That's nothing. That's none of your business. That's what they're doing. We want to see George Clooney's butt, and we want to see it with no underwear on it. Now, where do you stand?
I don't care. I don't want to see his ass. I don't care.
I seem to remember Dennis Franz's big pimple-filled ass, and that was on normal television. Now they won't let this guy be on film? Come on.
You know, you really need a freaking life.
For an R rating, we ought to at least see that thing that hangs between his legs, don't you? Whatever it is. Look, Phil, we must see Clooney's ass.
I won't be seeing that movie for that very reason. I was looking forward to seeing it, but if Clooney's ass is bearing it, no, thank you. You know, it's this, you know, call it weird, call me strange. I just don't need to see it. I see a female actress, male actor. I have certain expectations out of the female. I get certain expectations out of the male. I go to see a George Clooney movie. He can be a badass, a hard ass. He can run around and be all kinds of an ass, but I don't want to see his ass. And as far as the actresses go, be beautiful, be talented, get naked every now and again. That's what I want there. And that's the way we want it, and we don't want to see anything else. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get women to action movies now? Is this it? Whatever happened to the days when a woman, she was fine with just the guy taking his shirt off? And how do you know that George Clooney's ass is anything to talk about? I don't know much about guys' asses, but I do know that every time they show Michael Douglas nude from the waist down, all I hear women say is, oh, God, is that disgusting. Seriously. See, did you know this, Chris? Women think that Michael Douglas is disgusting with no clothes on. And yet they keep foisting it on them. They keep shoveling it on them. Every studio, every time. Hey, Mike, you want to take your pants off? Well, they don't like it. Well, just do it. He's 106. His ass, I guess, caved in years ago. What is there jiggles, you know. The only person who has, in my understanding, the only person who really likes Michael Douglas's ass is my engineer, Craig Taylor. Other than that, it's a wild thing. Hey, there's a new story out here. Get a load of this. Garlic cures things. Garlic is good for you. They just come out with this new story that garlic cures stuff and garlic's good for you. Now, let me ask you something. The many people listening to us right now, seriously, how long have you known people or have you yourself eaten garlic? How about at least over 20 years? Because it's been out since then. It's been out since the whole holistic thing. For 20 solid years, people are eating garlic to purify their blood and to cleanse their soul and to cleanse their body and mind. Garlic. My wife. Boy, I want to tell you something right now. It better cure something for what we've been through. Garlic had better cure cancer for what we've all been through down these many years. The girlfriend who took the chiolic capsules with the liquid garlic in, she dropped 2 in the morning, and by the time you see her at 10, she belches, and the entire car is filled with the acrid aroma of a Central California garlic field. My beautiful wife takes garlic, and I love her, and I will always be with her and always cherish her. But in the morning after an Italian meal, oh, man. Sweet, sweet God. And she knows it. She'll do one of these things women like to do. Is my breath bad? I tell you what, why don't we stop and get some breath assure because...
Is it bad? Is it?
Or you can walk into the party with your hand over your mouth like that.
Good evening, how are you?
But I think we really need to.
Garlic.
And so I hope it cures something. My wife's doing great. She's in great health. But then again, so am I. And I don't eat garlic. Well, I eat her cooking. She puts it in everything. You ought to see this wife of mine. She goes and gets the big flour of garlic, and she's got a garlic presser. She doesn't get garlic salt. She doesn't go and buy the stuff in a store. She squeezes the damn thing herself, puts it into everything. Everything. Desserts. Cakes. Pies. Pasta. Spinach. You know, etouffee. Aroo. And your mama, too. Fruit Loops. And then she'll say to me, remember, plenty of garlic. Can I talk to you about something? What? You know, when you say remember plenty of garlic, there's 5 other people in this home that have to live with the dire consequences of that. We have to live each and every day with the heartache of your garlic ingestion. So, garlic ice cream they got. They seriously have garlic ice cream. And you know what? I would rather take my eyes out with a grapefruit spoon than eat it again. That's how good it is. That's how delicious garlic ice cream is. Now, up in California here, in Gilroy, California, they call it the garlic capital of the world. And every year they got a garlic festival. And you go up there and you get your garlic and you eat garlic toast and you shovel it down in many different ways. And people walk out of there. There's a stench that follows them all the way down to 101. And it lingers for days. But it's a good thing. All right, so that's it, and the only reason I bring that up is because supposedly it cures stuff. Yeah, I know, I get it, it cures stuff. My house, it's all over the place. Get yourself some garlic, man, you'll never die. You know, I have to tell you something, if they proved that garlic could make you live forever, I still wouldn't eat it. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Now, what we have is our website. We want to tell you a little bit about the Phil Henry Show website. A couple of things that are coming up. Number one, on the 20th through the 22nd, the Phil Henry Show website will be free of charge. You won't have to have a backstage pass to listen to all of our audio. It's going to be free. You can come and sample all the amazing audio absolutely free and then get yourself a backstage pass so you'll never miss another piece of comedy gold on our website. On the 28th and the 29th on this radio show, a Bobby Dooley marathon. That'll be Thanksgiving Day and the day after Thanksgiving. 6 solid hours of Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve and all of their hijinks and crazy stuff. And then on December the 20th, we'll be doing a webcast on our website of the Phil Henry Show. So if you've never seen it, you can watch it on the website. It's all coming up on the 20th of December, the next couple of months. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
So, Mr. Wheeler, you're against a potential war in Iraq.
Oh, absolutely, Phil. We are very against it, yes. And our import-export company has an official stand on that.
Why do you oppose it?
Well, my family has a long-standing relationship with the Iraqi people. We have exchanged ideas and products the last 7 years. They're a good people. They are an industrious people. And the Iraqi, any potential war with Iraq is going to not only hurt the Iraqi people, it'll hurt the American people. It certainly will hurt myself and hurt my business, and not my business, but really my friendship with the Iraqi people.
Well, how would a war with Iraq hurt you specifically?
Again, I repeat what I said. It would hurt me because of my relationship with my friends. It would hurt.
But you do business there, don't you? I mean, you are making money with an import-export.
No, this is friendship.
How much money do you make in your dealings with Iraq, with Iraqi business?
You know, Phil, I don't think
just how much?
We make about $6.5 million annually, but that has really nothing to do with my concern about an attack. Our effort is humanitarian.
You say your effort is humanitarian to stop a war with Iraq, but you make $6.5 million. A year.
And I think it's very cynical of you to point that out. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer, but my concern is humanitarian only, and the very deep friendships that I have with Iraqi business people and the Iraqi people. And
it has nothing to do with your business, I'm just asking.
It has absolutely nothing to do. And if you were here right now, Phil, and I could look you in the eye, I would tell you, even though I make about $6.5 million a year, that is true, from our dealings of antiquities and other products with Iraq, my opposition to the Iraq war has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with friendship. And that's why our efforts humanitarian, and that's why we're asking school children all over America to send a letter of peace to President Bush to stop him from hurting the Iraqi people and in the process hurting the American people.
All right, I have a copy of the letter because my daughter got a copy of this letter at her school, and it says, "Dear Mr. President, this was promulgated by your company."
This is something that we created our company, and we have sent copies to schools throughout the West, and we're hoping to get it a national campaign going as soon as possible.
All right. It says, "Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited, we ask you not to attack Iraq and murder children. Please, Mr. President, give peace a chance. Don't murder Iraqi babies and pregnant women. Sincerely." And then the child is supposed to sign his or her name there on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited. My question is, of course, why do you have the name of your company in this letter? And why are you talking about murdering people?
Phil, the reason why I have my name, I don't understand your question.
Why does it say, "Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited, and then the child signs his or her name, and again it says on behalf of Wheeler Import Export. Why is your name on that letter?
Why is Coca-Cola's name in the Olympics? Why is Cannon's name in the Olympics?
To make money.
No, sir. It's to show the Olympic spirit and to show everybody that they are behind the Olympic spirit, and that's exactly why our name is in that letter. It is exactly...
So a war on Iraq wouldn't affect your business at all?
I don't know. It might, but I don't care. What I care about more than anything else is the people of Iraq being needlessly subjected to bombing, especially pregnant women and children. And the thing you have to remember about Iraq is they have a lot of cripples, crippled people who will not be able to get out of the way of some of that ordnance that's falling. And if a person does good, they should be recognized for that good. So that is how I would answer your question.
All right, this doesn't sound to me like you're trying to give peace a chance. This sounds to me like you're trying to save your business, though. You see?
No, I've had friends and business associates in Iraq for 30 years. Do you know who set up the initial shot for the film The Exorcist, where they filmed that archaeological scene in Iraq? That was me. I made the calls. I made the connections. I got the two film commissions together. The thought of my good friends, both inside and outside Iraq's government, dying from an American bullet is so unfair of our country and barbaric. And this has nothing to do with business. This has to do with innocent people. And I'm going to get these kids to sign these letters. And once it hits the press that Bush is ignoring children, he's out. Okay.
Well, how are you going to get the kids to sign the letters? How are you going to get these kids to sign the letters?
Well, I think once you show the children that their parents could die in an Iraqi war, they'll sign. And
So you're going to scare the kids into signing these letters?
So, you know,
I'm trying to get the gist of your campaign here, Peace for Iraq. You got school kids sending letters to President Bush saying, please don't murder the Iraqis. And the way you're getting these kids to sign these letters is by saying that their parents could die in an Iraqi war. And this is a cover letter here that I'm looking at. Dear school child, please sign this letter, or when you come home tonight, mommy and daddy might not be there.
Kids need encouragement, Phil.
I think that that's manipulating the kids wrongly.
No, kids need encouragement. You have to understand that children are lazy. My wife is an educator, and she uses this all the time. It's called anxiety reinforcement. When you give the kid the worst-case scenario, if they don't do what they're told, they'll do what they're told.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to import exporter Dean Wheeler, who is running an anti-Iraqi war campaign with school kids, having them sign letters and sending them to President Bush. And he feels that if President Bush is in the press ignoring kids, then his campaign is out. And, you know,
Phil, I think it's very typical, by the way, if I could interrupt, the media being against the peace movement in this country. There are a lot of Americans who are in favor of peace, and we're going to get a lot of them on our side, and we can stop this Iraqi war. I'm talking to everybody out there. We can stop this war.
Yeah, but getting kids to sign a letter to President Bush saying, please don't murder pregnant women, and then saying your mommy and daddy might not come home.
Phil, this is a possibility in the Iraqi war, that these children could lose parents. And I would tell you something.
That their mother and father could die?
Let me tell you a story. I had a very dear friend growing up. His name was Kyle Patterson. And he was angry at his parents because he was grounded. And it happens to a lot of teenagers.
Right.
So he went out to the garage one night, and he had been taking auto shop, and he cut the brake fluid line on his father's car. The next day, his father and mother had an appointment, and they never came back. The car sailed off an embankment and exploded in a ravine.
All right, so he killed his parents.
No, he didn't. He showed them the repercussions of what would happen if they fooled around with him. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to tell the kids. If we have a war with Iraq, it's possible your parents won't come home.
You had a friend kill his parents by cutting the brake fluid line, and you say that that's showing his parents...
That's showing his parents what could have what happened if... It's just, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's...
He murdered his parents.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying repercussions. We need peace. We're going to get American school kids to sign letters and send them to President Bush, and if they don't do it willingly, we're going to have to tell them the truth, that their parents could die in an Iraqi-American war.
Well, the likelihood of Americans dying in that war is very slim.
Oh, you really think?
Well, it's slim in terms of civilian death. It's not slim, certainly, in terms of military death. It is slim in terms of civilian death.
Well, the kids don't know that. And
well, I think it's wrong to play with a kid's emotions like that.
Do you think it's better that we have a war with Iraq and I lose? Well, it has nothing to do with my business, but I lose friends, and yes, I would lose some business. And the innocent children of America should not be lied to by President Bush. Mommy and Daddy could take an Iraqi bullet if they don't write these letters.
Well, that's bull crap, and you know it. Complete and utter bull crap. Our number is, but this is one of the reasons why I don't think the peace movement in this country is going to take off, because you guys have to go through these kinds of exercises to get anybody interested in a peace movement.
We'll get people interested in a peace movement. I got $6.5 million, which doesn't have anything to do with why I want peace, but I do have a business.
You keep saying it has nothing to do with peace, but you got this business.
I've got a business. I've got mouths to feed. But I also don't care about the business. I care about peace. I care more about peace than I do about the money that I'm losing. But I want to mention the money I'm losing because I care about that too. But mostly I do care about peace.
Do you care about kids?
When you say kids, what do you...
Do you care about children?
Yes, of course I do.
Do you care about their lives?
Of course. What does that got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, by telling a kid, sign this letter of peace for President Bush, or you won't see your mommy and daddy, that manipulates their minds.
Well, I'm not...
Yeah, you're not getting it. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here. I'm talking to Dean Wheeler. He is the head of another prong in the burgeoning peace movement in America against a war with Iraq. He is sending out a letter to school kids for them to sign and send on to President Bush. I want to read this again. Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited, we ask you not to attack Iraq and murder children. Please, Mr. President, give peace a chance. Don't murder Iraqi babies and pregnant women sincerely, and then the child would sign their name there on behalf of Wheeler Import Export. He believes that this is going to get Bush out of office, because if Bush is seen ignoring school children, why then he's out of office. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that there should be a peace movement? Do you think that the need for peace is so important that we lie to children? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, here's the part, and Dean Wheeler is with me. He is a part of, you call yourself a part of an ever-burgeoning peace movement in America against the war in Iraq.
Well, there's no doubt the peace movement is moving, Phil, very rapidly. And we can stop Bush from hurting our business. You know, it's not hurting our business, but killing people.
Is it your business or is it people?
You've asked me that question now about four times, and I think I've answered it.
I don't think you have, because every time I talk to you, you say we don't want President Bush to hurt our business, but then our people.
Look, my business is people. I love people.
Your business is importing and exporting antiquities, as you say, and other things from Iraq.
I deal with the Iraqi people. The war, let's get to the point here. The war with Iraq is going to murder pregnant women and crippled, all of the cripples that you have in Baghdad, they can't move out of the way of a bomb. And that may sound funny to you, Phil.
Nothing about it sounds funny, sir.
Well, I'll tell you this. A child on a crutch can't get out of the way of a nuclear a bomb. You'd have to. Can you imagine how fast that child would have to be on that crutch to get away from the radius of a... And all of these things, to me, smack of a homicide, of genocide, and the $6.5 million that I lose, I don't care. It hurts, and I have kids in private school, but I don't care. I only care about the child who's on that one single crutch trying to hobble out of the way of an American smart bomb whose destructive radius is several miles. There's no way. The child could have hobbled for a half hour and still would be incinerated.
child this, child that, you know.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Henry. Children are our future. And President Bush is robbing me, he's robbing all of us, of our economic growth and of our peace by attacking Iraq.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler of Wheeler Import Export on why we need peace with Iraq. Kimberly, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Kimberly, hello. Okay, she's gone. Let's go over to Holly. You're on, Holly, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I like to make a point that we're not going to nuke the Iraq. We're not going to nuke them, and I want to make that
point. Well, I don't know how you can make that statement. I don't know how you know that.
We're trying to prevent the nuke, so that's why we're going to war, is to prevent that from happening.
Prevent my friends in Iraq.
Personally, I think that your business is more important than any kid. And how you can say that we're going to nuke them is beyond the point, because we're not going to do that.
Where do you get the idea that my business is more important? Hold on, lady. You're not going
to
talk over me, young lady.
No, I am going to talk over you because I think you're full of crap.
Well, where did you get the idea that my business is important?
Because you keep saying that they're going to have them sign a letter with your business's name. I think you want publicity, personally.
It's simply to say that Wheeler Import Export, that's been in business for 17 years...
You want publicity. That's why you're calling the show, and that's why you're making this point. It's nothing to do with peace. It has to do with money.
Right. I mean,
and you sound like a big car nut.
I have an extremely successful nightclub.
That's great. That's wonderful. I'm very happy for you. But don't come and say that you're trying to make peace with the kids when you really are just trying to get publicity on this show
so you think
can say that you're going to go for peace,
right?
And with kids, you're going to use children,
right?
People's
yeah.
kids
six
to sign a
half,
paper?
If I've heard once, I've heard it a million times. 6.5 million you're going to lose.
I said, Mr. Henry, that I don't care if I lose money. I'm only concerned with the cripples that are going to...
Yeah,
and I guess you think that's pretty good, Holly, a child trying to hobble away from...
Yeah, listen, pal, okay? I have family
funny?
That are crippled.
Do you think that's
and
funny?
I don't think that's good that you're making a point and you're using the crippled to defend your case.
Why not? Why shouldn't I use the cripples?
No,
they have them all
because we're not
going to
go
Iraq.
After the Iraqi citizens. Do you not watch the news, sir?
Ma'am, I watch the news.
They're not going after the citizens. They're not going after the citizens.
How can you drop
a bomb? They're going after their weapons.
Yeah, this is
going after the people.
This is propaganda to say, and I've heard this propaganda over and over and over again, America's going to drop bombs on civilians. America...
Well, okay.
They're
what if a bomb goes astray and hits the business, and I don't care about business, but if it hits the business... What if it destroys the home of friends of mine...
let's just say what it is you wanted to say. What if it hits a business that you're doing business with?
I did not say that.
Well, you
then
wanted to say that.
Business. That's the point.
That's what you want.
Holly, how are you going to drive those kids of yours to soccer practice when you get your legs blown off by an Iraqi Italian? You think that's a riot? Listen to her. She's laughing about having her legs
blown off. No, I think it's funny that you're using your business as a peace thing when really the fact is that President Bush, I'm sure he's a very intelligent man, and he knows what he's going in there for, and people like you are not going to stop him from going in there or not. Whether you want to or not, it isn't the case.
Intelligent, that he's going to get his ass handed to him. I'm scared.
Okay.
And I think a lot of us should be scared.
Right.
A lot of people are scared, sir, but the thing is you don't have the facts.
Are you scared because you're afraid of violence, or are you scared about losing your business?
Exactly.
I'm scared... about the bombs.
No.
Bull crap. You're afraid of losing your business. Holly, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I think we need to see the peace movement in America for what it is. These are people who are doing business in Iraq and are afraid of losing their money.
Mr. Henry, that is a bald-faced lie. It's a slander against the peace movement in America.
No, I think it, you know, contrary to the peace movement during the Vietnam time, when that was a lot of college kids and a lot of people that didn't really were just grassroots, this whole peace movement against Iraq are you guys with import-export businesses because you won't be able to import mummies or whatever the hell it is you bring over from Iraq.
That is a slander on everyone that is working to keep cripples from being blown to bits. And I
keep pulling that cripple card out too, man. Here is Alice on the Phil Henry Show. Alice, go ahead.
Yes, I just have a remark for this gentleman. He says that he cares about the children. The children are our future. However,
yes,
I don't believe that statement is really true, because for him to suggest putting this letter in front of small children in a school saying, well, if you don't sign this, your mommy and daddy might not come home. How traumatizing is that?
Don't you think that's true? If their mother and father could die in the war with the Iraqs?
Well, it's a possibility, but it's going to be, I mean, like, for example, on September 11th, that was on the television. There's going to be enough publicity about it on the television. They don't need to bring it in the schools, too.
I think children need to know what war is all about, Alice, and
how do you explain it to a six-year-old, though?
You simply say to them, war is bad. It can blow your mommy and daddy into
I'm not saying that to my
chili.
Six-year-old.
You, the children, look, all you say to a child, and it's very simple, you sit them down and you say, I'm sure you've seen beef stew. I'm sure you've seen chili. Mommy and Daddy might look like that.
Oh, my God.
That's just horrible.
Oh,
you don't care
my
about
God.
The kids because to put that
no.
picture in a child's mind is just a horrible
Alice,
thing to do.
Alice, we need peace. We need.
Why do we need peace,
and
there,
how
Dean?
Is that going to present peace in a household if you're saying your mother's going to look like beef stew? That's a peaceful household.
Oh, my
household.
God.
Well, at least it gives them truth. Or I took my daughter's SpongeBob SquarePants doll, and I set it on fire, and I said, see that?
Well, then
that's
you're demented.
No, I am not. I'm demented because I want peace. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
How
all right, Alice. Hold on, Alice.
Sponge?
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should we have peace with Iraq, even if it means filling kids' heads with horrible pictures? The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
My daughter, Catherine, got one of these letters from your company, Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah.
And I read it before, and I'll read it again for anybody that missed it. Dean Wheeler's company has school children across the West signing their names to a letter, and the following letter is this. Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited, we ask you not to attack Iraq and murder children. Please, Mr. President, give peace a chance. Don't murder Iraqi babies and pregnant women. Sincerely, then the child signs their name on behalf of Wheeler Import Export. And I am trying to...
And you find fault with that?
I find fault with the Wheeler Import Export, yeah.
So you still attribute to me some kind of a nefarious or a ulterior motive having to do with money. And I swear to God it has nothing to do with money.
You swear to God?
I swear. Mr. Henry, I am telling you right now, you could drop my genitals into boiling Wesson oil. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but you could do that, and I would swear to you it has nothing to do with money.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for that very graphic and very inappropriate example.
Well, forgive me, sir, but
very graphic and very inappropriate.
Forgive me, but I'm trying to tell you it has nothing to do with money.
Well, I'm going to try and get my daughter, Catherine, on the line here to tell us a little bit about that. Maybe you can ring up the house, Craig, and pull it up on one of these lines. 1-800-449-8686. Go over here to Gwen. Hi, Gwen. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. I can't.
You just hung up on yourself, Gwen.
Okay, Gwen, you gone? Yeah, she's gone. Here is, I believe this is Mary. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Mary.
Yes, along with the other graphic description that Dean Wheeler just made, whatever may happen, that won't affect his $6 million. And bottom line, his concern is the $6 million, his kids' private school.
No, it's
and
not.
I,
no, it is well, not. It has nothing to do with money. It only I care about children getting their parents being destroyed.
If you care about children, you would never have young children even have a thought like this in their mind. This is not what they should be thinking about, peace, war, whatever.
Oh,
they're young children, and that's a very
children.
Ignorant statement.
Oh, what ignorant statement? What did I say that was ignorant? I'm trying to get children to understand that, that the war is going to blow everybody up.
You know,
I mean,
I don't want to see innocent Iraqi people blown up,
thank
destroyed,
you.
Killed.
Thank
but
you.
You know what? Involving children in something like this is only for your personal well-being.
What did I say?
You said that here's a can of chili. This is what mommy's going to look like.
That is disgusting. How dare you say that to a young child or even... I'm an adult and I found that totally disgusting and nauseating.
Mary, I guess you've never been to war. But I can tell
you... No, I have not
been to war. Wait a minute. Have you been to war, Mr. Wheeler?
I have not been to war, but I have seen special effects... Motion picture special effects. And I think that that...
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
Mr. Wheel, have you been to a VA? Have you been to a VA home?
Do the guys look like Chili in there? I don't know.
No, a guy that looks like Chili is most probably dead.
But how dare you even bring this into any...
The children have to understand they are they're the instrument we can use to get Bush not to have the war in Iraq.
You're using them as an instrument for your business.
But, no, I swear it has nothing to... It has.
Listen, sir, I'm a businesswoman, and I want nothing more than to see the people that I work for do well, but not at the sake of our government, okay? And that's you're jeopardizing children's emotional well-being by what you're saying to them.
That is entirely wrong, because I say we can do something. Mommy and Daddy don't have to become like Stu if we call the president.
You're making the children responsible for peace on earth. You're making them think, if I don't write this letter, Mommy and Daddy are going to be like cold stew. You're making the children, they'll feel guilty if something happens to their parents. They'll think it was their fault.
Well, it is their fault.
How dare you put that on a kid?
Well, it's not my fault. Do you think it's my fault that there's going to be war? No. It's the fault of a kid, because he didn't write the letter about a kid getting exploded and his parents turning into Hormel Chili. Now, me? All right, I've got $6.5 million a year that I get out of Iraq. Okay, fine. I guess I'm not supposed to make a buck. Is that it? I'm not allowed to make a buck.
Everybody's supposed to make a buck, and everybody's entitled to it, but you're only saying that if you...
The only ones who can change the world and stop the war are the children, by writing letters, and the only way I can get them to write letters is to say, you see this bowl of cold macaroni? Put your hand in it. That's about what brains feel like.
How dare you do that to a child?
How could you? You know what? You're inhumane.
You say you own a business. What kind of business do you own? Children have to take some responsibility for the wars that we've had. I'm getting
young children do not have to take any responsibility for the wars that are going on.
I am getting sick and tired of kids being let off the hook for World War One. You know as well as I do they had a hand in starting it. You know
what did the kids do to start World War One?
Pissed off the Archduke. They did stuff. That's what I'm saying. You know they started World War Two too, with all of their crying and their belly aching about how they don't have food and all this crap. And the next thing you know, we got to
All right, okay.
I'm hanging up because I'm finding this man totally disgusting,
and you should not even be allowed to speak on the radio. Make love, not war. Although in your case...
Oh, yeah, in your case what?
I was going to make a joke.
Entirely inappropriate considering what we're talking about. Merritt, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I am an early childhood education major. I've worked with children for the last 14 years. And I think, Mr. Wheeler, that you're an absolute idiot, because everything that you're saying to these children, including your own, will mentally scar these children for life. And I hate to think of any school district hiring a woman who would send these letters home to children.
Well, wait a minute. There's a lot of kids that are scarred in Iraq, too. Don't you think the American kids ought to take their place in line?
Excuse me, I was talking, and you will not talk over me. I will finish what I was saying,
sir. You were babbling. You weren't talking.
And then you may have your turn.
That's fine.
I was not rambling. And what I will say is that I am a member of the peace movement. I am a member of the Green Party.
All right, then we have solidarity. We have solidarity.
I have nothing in common with you.
Of course you do.
No one that I know in the Green Party and that's working with the peace movement has ever tried to intimidate or threaten children with the loss of their parents.
Wait a minute. I'm not threatening children. What you are doing is you tell
the children that their parents may not come home. That is a threat, sir.
No, whether I'm saying their parents could die in a war. Their parents could die in a war.
That is exactly what it is. I am not finished.
Just because you're in the Green Party doesn't mean you know everything.
And I feel very sorry for your children, and I hope that someone listening to this program tonight works for Youth and Family Services, and I hope they're knocking on your door tomorrow to remove your children from your home.
Merritt, it's people like you that are going to cause the war against Iraq.
Absolutely
because you don't
not.
Understand how
and
we get this
what?
War stopped.
I have to tell you, I do not think Bush is an effective president.
I do not think
anything positive has happened to this country since he came
me.
Into office. However, I do not believe that using children in the manner to which you are using them is appropriate. Yes, children should write letters to the president.
My own daughter wrote
a letter to the president.
That's
However, she was not threatened with the loss of my
life or my husband's
Merritt,
life.
Merritt, this is Phil Henry.
I want her to write that letter.
Merritt, Phil Henry here. I want to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
A school district in Northern California took receipt yesterday of 3 cases of beefaroni.
That's correct.
Do you want to explain that?
Okay, so in other words, what you're going to do now is indict me because...
You had 3 cases of beefaroni delivered to show the children what happens to you after you get hit with a bomb.
Oh, my God, that's sick.
Sick, huh? So you want war. Are you for peace
sir,
or are you for
I
war?
Don't
what are you for?
I want war.
I told my kids
not.
Sign it or Saddam will hide under your bed and eat you in the night. And they knew it was
really?
A joke. They knew it was a joke.
I think you should probably be committed because if you actually believe... that someone is going to come and get you in the night. It's,
no, I told the
sad.
Children. I told
that's
the children.
Sad. You
and
know what, sir? I'll tell you something.
Those kids in Palestine know what's going on with war. It's about time
you
the spoiled
what?
Children of America figure it out, too.
You
and if we put their hands into a pile of goo, beefaroni, see, that's what happens to someone's face
Mr.
when a bomb
Wheeler,
goes off.
I'll tell you something. You really offend me because a friend of mine died in the World Trade Center on September 11th. And you
oh,
know what?
Sure.
I know how.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me, I'm not finished.
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
quiet
right.
while
yeah.
you were speaking.
Well, I don't
you
believe
be quiet
you.
While I'm speaking.
I don't believe your friend died there.
Wait a minute. Have some
why
respect for this
lady. Why would lie about that?
I think
that
you're
is
right.
a sick thing to lie about.
I
why
know.
Would anyone
so why are you
lie
doing
about
it?
That?
So why are you doing it?
What? I
why
am
are
not
you lying?
Lying, and I am truly offended that you would even think
you
that
didn't
someone
have anybody
would lie
died.
About that.
Would you,
you
just give? Would you give the lady the benefit of her experience and the benefit of the doubt and just believe that somebody she knows died in the World Trade Center?
No, I won't.
You know what?
Well, then, just have the Merritt, go ahead. I think we
you know
all
what?
Understand.
Millions of families were affected. Millions of people were affected by what happened on September 11th.
Well, then why are
however,
you for peace?
However, excuse me, can I finish? However,
I've been waiting for you to finish for 20 minutes.
Excuse me?
I've been waiting for you to finish for 20 minutes.
I'm
You've
sorry,
been butting in.
So I've been on the phone for less than 5. Millions of people were affected by what happened on September 11th. They had friends, they had family that were killed.
Right, and it was started by people like you.
The World Trade
in the
Center,
peace movement.
In the Pentagon, in Shanksville, and I do not believe that all of those families and all of those people feel the same way that you do. I do not believe that they think Saddam is going to hide under their beds. I don't think anybody's going to... I don't think they
believe
that anybody's going to turn to chili.
The Green Party started the whole thing. You guys are responsible
oh, please,
for 9/11.
We do not threaten children.
You're responsible for 9/11, though. The Green Party...
How do you get that?
What?
Oh, all of their pussyfooting around. It made the Arabs think they could blow things up. See, when you push your foot around...
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
The Green Party was in power when
Saddam
took over.
Saddam had friends in the Green Party.
Wait a minute, are you in the peace movement?
Yes.
And Merritt, you believe in peace with Iraq.
What peace movement? Sir, I want to know the name of your organization.
A Coalition for War Against Iraq. Now, you people in the Green Party don't even let your kids eat beef. You know, all of that pussy stuff that you guys do. God.
Do you know my children?
No, but you guys are all
vegetarians.
Aren't you all vegetarians? Aren't you all vegetarians in that deal?
No.
You're not.
Every green person is not a vegetarian, just like every idiot is not a member of the coalition of whatever you are.
The coalition against war against the Iraqis.
And every idiot who acts like you should not go around shooting off his mouth about things he doesn't know about.
I know about peace, and I know that my family's losing $6.5 million a year. And
oh, there we go with the business again.
Yep. I think that's exactly what this is.
Let me ask
every
you something.
Every time
do you
start
use...
to talk about people, before you mention the people, you mention your business.
Well, Merritt, you know
that
what?
Interesting
you know,
that
I think
the
it's
first
interesting.
Thing that comes out of your mouth is money
I
or
think
business,
it's
as opposed to the people.
I'll ask and you a simple question. Do you use deodorant
me,
and shave
I wasn't
your legs?
Finished.
Do you use deodorant and shave your legs?
Of course. Is it your business?
I don't think you do.
All right. She doesn't have a friend who died in
I'd
the press
like
center.
To know where is your business so I can come and show you.
Where's my? What are you going to show me?
I'm going to show you my hairless legs, mister. I'm going to prove to you
okay, that's
that
fine,
I don't lie, that you are a liar, and you know
all
what?
Right, you know what? Then you better pull that dress up pretty high.
Okay. Merritt, thank you.
Well, wait, you're not letting me...
Sir, I've heard about your $6.5 million. Kids are going to turn into beef.
Okay, you shave, right? Is that right, ma'am?
Are you still talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Do you shave?
After that disgusting comment that you just made, you think I deserve...
Wait a second. No, hold on for a minute. You said you shave, and yet you won't pull that dress up high enough to show me.
She said her legs.
I'm not wearing a dress.
She said her legs.
She said she shaves. I think she ought to be able to show me. Well, what? How far?
And do you... Forget it. I'm hanging up because...
You know, I don't think
you know
that...
You know what? No one can ever win.
Okay, see, she loses.
Idiots like you...
No, you know what?
Who
the,
think
the,
they know
the
everything
party,
and who will not listen
the
to...
The Green Party claims... The Green
you
Party
cannot,
claims...
What do you know about the Green Party?
The Green Party claims that they shave their genitals and they don't. And I am asking
what?
You...
Where do you get these things?
I am asking you...
Okay, I'm going to hang up on...
I want to know where you get your information.
I want to know if your curtains match your drapes or are the drapes gone.
What?
All right.
I want to know where you get this information. Because no Green Party member that I know...
In the Green Party...
In the manner in which you are speaking...
The Green Party...
The people that I know are very intelligent. They are doctors.
Right.
They are lawyers.
Right.
They
right.
are school teachers.
Yeah, but
they
you can tell a member of the Green Party... You can tell a member of the Green Party a mile away by the smell of vinegar.
What are you talking about?
All right,
about?
Okay, thanks a lot. That's Dean Wheeler with the Coalition Against Crap. 1-800-449-8686. I do not believe in peace. I believe in war. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm back with Dean Wheeler. And, Dean, I have my daughter Catherine on the line right now. Catherine, hi. How you doing, kid?
Hi.
Catherine, hi. It's Dean Wheeler. And I know you got the letter and that you are against the war in Iraq, aren't you?
Yes.
Catherine, you're against the war in Iraq?
Yeah, why?
Well, I just was curious.
Well, tell Catherine, this is Dean. Tell your daddy why you're against the war in Iraq.
Well, because I don't want my parents to turn into chili.
See, there you go, Phil.
Because you don't want your parents to turn into chili. Is that it?
Yeah.
See, I told you. Jesus. Catherine, your dad, I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a little stupid.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You don't want him turning into chili, right?
Yeah, I don't want him turning into chili.
Say a prayer that they don't become chili.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. 1-800-449-8686. Thanks a lot, Dean. By the way, I did the voice of Dean, but I didn't do the voice of Catherine. She's a real kid, and she lives at my house. All right, now, a little something from yesterday.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Father?
Hello, this is
you may be against the war, and you may be for peace and be well-intentioned, but I have never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life, and I think that neither the Pope nor any of the bishops would sanction it.
All we're doing is okay. Are you Catholic?
Yes, I've been a Catholic for 74 years.
Would you like me to bless you in the name of the Father?
No,
the Son,
I would
the Holy
not,
Spirit,
Father.
Amen. Well, Kay, I would say to you this, that we are trying to keep the war from shattering the lives of young men.
And that is
we're
not
trying...
an appropriate way to do it.
It's appropriate because we're trying
to pray
build a,
together.
It's a boot camp for peace.
Father, you
and
can pray together.
We do pray.
I don't think that you have to shower together.
We shower together as a baptism. And
yes,
then hand
well,
in hand, naked before
the
eyes
Jesus
of God.
I don't think Jesus did it naked.
Do you think God would be offended by the naked form of a boy?
I think
do
that
think,
Jesus would not shower naked with a boy.
Do you think God
And I
be,
don't think that it's an appropriate way to solve the peace problem. If you are against war, there are many more ways. Prayer, for instance.
Absolutely, Kay. We do pray.
Okay,
but pray.
Father.
But, Kay,
thank
your
you.
Did your husband go off to war?
Yes, he did, Father.
Did he lose any of his parts?
He was injured.
All right. Did he lose any of his scrotalia?
No, he did not, Father.
All right. And well, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for you.
Thank you,
and
Father.
And we do pray, but we pray with our clothes removed, naked
well,
before the eyes of God.
I don't think
in the
it's
way that
appropriate.
God created man in all of the glory of his
yes.
nudity.
You could join a nudist camp.
But this is the idea.
You hear what? See, this is what
right,
I thought
Father.
Would happen. Yeah, this is what I
it's,
thought would happen, Father. People are going to react to this in a very negative way.
This is the Catholic way, though.
No, it is not, Father.
Well, I don't
it's
know.
It's not the
it
Catholic way.
Yes, it is, Phil. It's the Catholic way between priest and boy. And
you guys have had so many problems with molestation. I would think you'd be frightened to death of anything that might even hint at it.
There's no sex involved. The only sex is in the mind of Kate.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendrie show.com. I do all the voices. Except